And we saw last week that God wants us to have joy. He wants our joy to be complete. And our joy comes from knowing Him and also knowing one another, having relationship with one another. And there's a famous pastor who once said, his name's John Piper, that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Let me say it again, because it takes a second to sink in. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. When we experience the most joy in the Lord, that brings honor to God. God wants us to be joyful in Him. And we come to the next section in the Word here today, and it talks about the message of Jesus and how we can experience this joy. And let's pray as we prepare to read this. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we ask Your blessing now as Your Word is read. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in John chapter 1, and I'd like to begin with verse 5. And it says this. First John. Did I say John? The first letter of John. So I'll let you flip over there a little bit. Not the Gospel of John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him, and that's Jesus, and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. A lot of statements in there, and I just want to start just with the first one. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And whenever you read about people approaching God's throne or being approached by God in the Bible, you always see there's light. There's light coming from the throne. And there's this light that is blinding at some times to certain people. But there's more to it than that, because light is used as a symbol in the Bible too. And here's what it often means. It often has to do with life. Because on the first day of creation, God said, let there be light. And actually, what I love about, if you read the original Hebrew, it's not that many words. It's actually just light, be. Can you imagine that? Being able to speak something into existence? Light, be. And light was. That's what it says. For you and me, we can make things out of stuff that's already around us. Pencil and paper, canvas and paint, wood and hammer and nails. We can make things out of what's already there, but we don't speak things into existence. That's what God does. So the first day of creation, light. So light has to do with life. And then God saw the light and He said that it was good. So light is about goodness. And light is also about truth, because light reveals truth. And you know, you think about it, if people are afraid of the dark, they're not really afraid of the dark, they're afraid of what might be there, right? But they can't see it. You can think about a little kid. You could have a little kid playing in their room all day long in the light, playing with their Legos and their dolls and whatever else is there, and be perfectly happy. Night comes, the lights go out, it's the same room, it's the same stuff in there. Why are they scared? Because they're not sure. Because there's no light. Light reveals truth. Light reveals what is there. And darkness is just the opposite. So light has to do with life, goodness, and truth. Let's remember that. Say it with me. Life, goodness, and truth. So when you read about light in the Bible, that's what it symbolizes. So God is life, goodness, and truth. God is all those things. On the other hand, darkness has to do with death, evil, and lies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The shadow of death, there's darkness. And there's lies, too, because when things are darkened, you can conceal things. You can conceal what's actually there. So we have this contrast, light and dark, and we know this. And you see it in movies. You'll see the light and the dark imagery and things like that. You'll see it in horror movies. And I have to tell you, I will never understand horror movies. I will never understand them. First of all, I'm not a good person to watch a movie with. You can pray for my wife. Because I don't think of, I'm not really thinking about, I don't get absorbed in it. I'm always thinking about like how they filmed it and who's acting and what the word. And I recognize it's not real. So it's really hard to scare me in a movie because I'm not into it. I'm not there. But someone will have to explain to me someday why it's fun to be scared. I don't get it. All right? But it also has, darkness has to do with fear. We're afraid. So God brings light and life and goodness and truth into it. So it says in this passage, in him he is light, there is no darkness in him at all. And I brought some visual aids, not too high tech here today. All right? But think about that, and we'll just use these pieces of paper, these cardboard. Light and darkness. There is no darkness in God at all. There's no evil. There's no lies. And this is different from what other religions teach. There are other religions that will talk about a force. They'll talk about karma, talk about things like that. You'll see in Eastern religions, they'll have the circle, the yin and the yang, and things like that. And they say that everything's in balance. There's an equal amount of good and evil, and everything has to balance out. But we believe that God is separate. There is no evil in him, and he is greater than darkness. Right? So we believe that he is distinct. And as Christians, our belief is that God isn't contaminated by the evil in his world. Darkness doesn't overtake it. As a matter of fact, the light pushes the darkness away. If you're in a dark room and you turn the light on, the darkness goes away. Right? And some of you will explain to me the physics of it all. Light is dark. Darkness is the absence of light and things like that. I don't want to go that far. But the light pushes the darkness away. And God isn't contaminated by his world. We are. We are affected by our world around us. We are drawn in. We are pulled away from God by the things that we see. And sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad, but think about it this way. We are all influenced by our culture and what's around us. You know, do you think the culture is different in the north where we have cold winters and snow than it is in warmer climates? I think people act differently. I actually think it toughens us up a little bit up here. When you have to shovel for 2 hours before you can even go to work, that kind of changes things here. But think about it this way too. People in different parts of the world talk differently. Language influences us. We develop accents and different things. So if you go to England, you know, someone will say to you, "Hello, governor," right? And if you go to the south, they'll say, "How y'all doing?" Right? Why? Because those people have grown up, they've been influenced by their culture. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, accents, but think about it in a spiritual sense. We are influenced by the world around us. And Scripture says that bad company corrupts good character. So we're pulled away, right? And we are darkened by what's around us. And there's also darkness in us. But let's be clear on this. There is no darkness in God at all. And what other world religions have done in the past, like the Greek mythology, they would create their own gods who had their strengths and weaknesses. Because it's more comforting, right? If there's a god up there, Apollo, who does good things, he also does bad things. I can relate to that. But I'm having a hard time with a God who is pure and perfect and holy. But I'll tell you what, I am thankful that God is pure, perfect, and holy. I'm thankful that everything that he says to me is true. He always does what is good. He is all about life. I'm so thankful for that. And it says in this passage, the next verses talk about if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. So if I say I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and nothing in my life ever changes, and I keep following and doing the bad things that I always did, then I really don't have fellowship with God. If I'm walking with God, and if I love God, those things should grieve me. I should be sorrowful over my sin. And when you think of the Christian life, one of the things I was thinking about this past week because I went skiing with my kids is we're kind of following God through life, down the mountain, And one of the things when the kids were first skiing and they were just kind of getting used to things, we would come to a steep section. If you go up to Mount Wachusett, that last little descent on Ralph's Run there, and when the first time a kid sees it, they go, uh-oh, all right, this is trouble, right? And here's what I would say to my kids when they were younger. I would say, follow me. I'm gonna go down like this. Just go right in my tracks. You know, I'm gonna steer around the icy spots, and I'm gonna take the easiest path down. Just follow me. And really, that's what God is saying to us. Follow me. Follow me. Do it. Follow my way. Don't go off trail. Don't go down the little trails through the woods. You're gonna hit a tree. Caleb went down one of those little trails last week, right? And he fell. He's fine, but you know, that's what happens. But we're supposed to be following God, and we're supposed to be living the way Jesus lived. We are children of the light. We should act like it. We shouldn't act like children of the darkness. And that's the analogy that's being used here. But when we look at ourselves, you know, we have different ideas about what we look like. You might think of yourself, you know, I'm kind of like this. I'm white with a few gray patches. Yeah, that's me, right? I'm not so bad. Or maybe I'm a little bit like this. I'm a light gray, maybe a battleship gray. You know, that's kind of me. You know, I'm not good, but I'm not bad either. Maybe I'm a little bit worse. Maybe I'm a darker gray. And then what happens is being religious creeps in. You know, I've been trying really hard to live this godly life, and you know, I may not be perfect, but I'm better than him. You know, I may look like this, but at least I don't look like that, right? And we start to compare ourselves to other people as if God graded on a curve. You know what I mean by a curve? Like the 75 gets the A. No, that's not how God grades. That isn't how it works. So we shouldn't be looking down on each other based on, you know, who has the most sin. And it says if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And that's what happens sometimes. We get to that point where we think, man, I've arrived. I've done it. I've reached this point where I'm pretty good. But here's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that apart from God, our righteous acts are filthy rags. We are all darkness without Christ. None of us can approach him. He is light, we are dark. And really, the only way to approach him is through Christ. And so if we get high and mighty and we think that we've arrived, and if you say to yourself, well, if you're saying I haven't really sinned, that's pride. That in and of itself is a sin. We are darkness. We need somebody to bring us into the light. And we know that that's Jesus. And it says here, if we claim we don't sin, we lie. Because the light reveals truth. And I want to make a confession to you this morning. I'll let that sit for a minute. People get excited. My confession is that I have a slightly receding hairline. I don't know if you've noticed this. But I'll tell you what happens. When I was younger, I started to lose my hair a little bit. And guys, we all do the same thing. I'm going to start combing it this way. No, I'm going to start combing it that way. No, I'm going to start doing this. And you start trying to fill it in and figure it out. And then you'll end up going into this bathroom with these bright lights, and you'll look in the mirror, and you'll be like, it's gone, right? I mean, that's the conclusion that you come to, because the light reveals what's actually there. And we can hide maybe things from other people, but we can't hide from God. God sees right into our heart. He sees right into our soul. And, you know, when we think about this, here's how to think about it. This is me. What Jesus says is, okay, you don't make it. You don't cut it. Because it says in this passage, we make God out to be a liar when we say we don't sin. Because in Scripture it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus says, I'll give you my piece of paper. So when the Father sees me, he now sees the purity of Jesus. And in the process, he is cleansing me, and he is making me more like Jesus. So we get to trade the darkness for light. He gives us his light, and he makes us more like himself. And, you know, when I see this passage here, I'm just think about your walk with the Lord. And I'd like to continue on reading into chapter 2. And this is just a little advice as you read God's word. is that God's word, we believe, is true, every word of it. We believe that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But these verse numbers and chapter numbers and the headings that might be in your Bible, the chapter headings, they were not in the original. They were added hundreds of years later just so we could find it, just so I could say, go to 1 John chapter 1 and you could find it in your Bible, as long as I tell you the right book of the Bible. And then, but here's why I want to tell you this, because sometimes, in my opinion, they put the chapter markers in the wrong place, and you should keep reading. You should read what's before the chapter and what's after the chapter so you get the whole context of it. And it says here in chapter 2, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And so here is the idea. John doesn't want us to sin. He wants us to follow down that path, the right path. But he recognizes that when we do, we confess it. We bring it out into the light. Lord, help me. Pick me up. Some people have this idea that, okay, I put my faith in Christ, but then I stumbled and I fell and I blew it again and I committed that sin, and now I'm not saved anymore. Now I'm not a Christian anymore. And they get this idea that you go like this in your Christian walk, and that's really not how it is. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And it says in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you confess your sins to him, you're forgiven. And that is hard for people to get their minds around sometimes, because sometimes people want to hang on to that guilt. You get to give that to the Lord. Jesus died for that sin. You know, I was thinking about the song, I think it was during the offering. It was my sin that held him on that cross until it was finished. See, he finished the job, so now we're forgiven. And you know, going back to the skiing analogy, you know, going down that mountain, you know, I think about it like this. If I'm skiing with my kids, I try to stay close to them, and if they fall, I pick them up, and we keep going. That's our relationship with our Father. Our Father in heaven loves us more than I love my own kids, more than you love your own kids. And so we will fall. We confess it to him. We bring it out into the light. He picks us up. We move forward together. That is the Christian life. That's the Christian walk. And I want to just finish up by reading a passage about light from Revelation chapter 22, last chapter of the Bible. And it talks about the future and in heaven and the holy city that we're all going to live in. And it says this, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. There will be no darkness in heaven. I believe this is both literal and figurative at the same time. I believe the Bible says there's not going to be darkness, there's not going to be night. I believe that. But this also symbolism here. It means there's no death, there's no evil, there's no lies, and there's not everything that goes along with that. There's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no stress, there's no anxiety. That's where we are headed. We are going to that place. But in the meantime, walk with the Lord. And if there's darkness in your life, and I should say it a different way, there is darkness in your life. We all have it. We all have temptations. We all have things that we're drawn to. Bring it to the Lord. Confess it to him so that he can purify you. There are sins that I used to commit that I don't even have a desire to commit anymore. The Lord has worked on me, and he's still working on me. We still haven't arrived. Jesus is light. We should walk in the light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you gave us the example of a holy, perfect, pure life. I thank you that you saved us from our sins. Lord, forgive us when we do sin. And we know that that forgiveness comes through your blood. And help us to walk and live the way you lived until we see you again. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.